This is KGVM Radio, 95.9 on your dial.
I'm Marion.
And I'm Jim. We are your hosts for this weekly program, Meditation to Self-Realization.
Our intention here is to do interviews, guided meditations, and share teachings of Hindu philosophy. We will be discussing how we can reach our greatest potential through self-realization.
This week we want to focus on a theme that will be taken from a book by Prithviji and Krishnaji, The Four Sacred Secrets.
So Jim, before we get started, I'd like to lead us all in a short breath pause.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
To relax and become centered.
Alright.
So let's take some slow, deep breaths and be very conscious of your inhale and your chest rising, and an exhale with your chest falling. And take a couple breaths this way. Relax your facial muscles. Relax your shoulders. Be sure your lips are closed as you inhale slowly and exhale slowly. And now take another inhale, and on your exhale, slowly open your eyes and join us.
That's nice. Thanks, Marion.
You're welcome.
All right. So today we're going to do something a little different. We're not going to do a reading today from the Four Secrets, Sacred Secrets. We're going to talk about compassion. Both Marion and I just got back from a little vacation, and it was right in our face how we did and didn't communicate compassionately with others. And so we're going to have a little discussion about that. But before we get started, Prithviji is going to give us about 9 minutes of a talk that she did concerning compassion. Marion's going to introduce Prithviji.
So Prithviji is a transformational leader and co-founder of O&O Academy. And that's a philosophy and meditation school for transforming consciousness. And that school is in India. And she co-founded it with her husband, Krishnaji.
All right, great. I wonder if you want to boot up the thing. In the meantime, Marion's going to boot up the 9-minute talk. And one of the things I noticed when I looked up compassion in the dictionary talks about pity, sympathy, and feelings. And for me, it's hard for me to connect with compassion as just being having pity for somebody or sympathy for somebody. But feeling is more intuitive. For me, to be in a state of true compassion, you're intuitively looking at the emotional side of somebody else's character. You know, it's kind of a reaction. And so it's a belief that I have, you know, and I don't, I'm not big on pity, sympathy, the poor me, and oh gosh, that poor person. I'm more into trying to feel how that other person might feel, the way I react to them. Do you have any thoughts on that, Marian?
I would agree more with you. I can't relate really to the definition in the dictionary. It doesn't feel like it has a whole lot of heart. So I can relate to feeling what the other person is feeling, and that's when I really have a sense of compassion.
All right, well we've got this booted up, so we're going to play a little talk by Prithviji, and it's titled Beyond Division to Compassion and Oneness.
And we're getting it from YouTube, so it's something that you can listen to over again if you choose to. And here we'll start.
So many of us have different reasons why we stop being compassionate, why we don't want to be compassionate, why we feel if another person is experiencing fear, another person's inner disturbance actually becomes your inner disturbance and you want to run away from that situation. One, you probably feel helpless, or you feel that other person is taking you for granted, just wanting attention and significance from you. There are so many reasons why you feel you need not be compassionate towards the other or feel the other person's pain. But do we want to grow in our compassion? Yes? Yes. But if we look at one thing that separates us or stops us from being compassionate towards the other, is to feel that we are different from the other. When you start feeling that you are different, then you will have all the reasons why you don't need to be compassionate towards the other. I am a Hindu, while you are a Catholic or a Jew. How do we connect? I am an Indian, or you are the rest of the world. How do we connect? I am very spiritual, or the other is not very spiritual. How do we connect? I am very evolved. The other is not very evolved. How do we connect? Or I am awakened, and the other is not awakened. How do we connect? We hold on to our superficial differences as much as possible, so that we are able to stop ourselves from connecting to another. I am an adventurer. The other prefers solitude. How do we connect? I like to be with people. The other person likes to be in solitude. How do we connect? So we look at the differences and we hold on to the differences very strongly, so that we can stop ourselves from connecting to the other. As Isha said, I am spiritually evolved. The other person is still wallowing in suffering. Why should I connect? But once this virus of feeling separate, this virus of feeling that you are superior takes control of you, then you enter into a place of judgment. Once you feel you are separate, once you feel you are superior to the other, then you begin to judge another. And from that space of judgment, your actions would be divisive. Your actions would only create further suffering. It would not help another person move away from suffering. So your separation-driven consciousness, which is at the basis of your thinking, your separation-driven mind, makes you feel separate, makes you feel superior, and also makes you judge another. strengthening your separation-driven consciousness, separation-driven mind. And that from that place of feeling separate, you actually perform actions that cause further division in the world around you. We might believe that this separation-driven consciousness is only seen in individual conflict. But if we actually open our eyes of wisdom and see very clearly, this separation-driven mind is responsible for all the war and all the suffering that we see around us. This separation-driven mind is responsible for all the pain that we see around us. The leaders of countries, the leaders try to separate themselves as belonging to one particular ideology, as belonging to one particular culture, or dividing and separating in the color of the skin, and then separating the other, and all the actions that flow from the separation-driven consciousness leads to further division and further separation in the world. It is the same separation-driven consciousness that is underlying all religious and communal conflict. We hold on to be belonging to one separate God, one separate scripture, or one separate idea of heaven. And then, because you feel separate, you feel your God is superior to other gods, and there is conflict. You feel your scripture is superior to other scriptures, and there is conflict. Or your idea of heaven is more superior to the other's idea of heaven. And you strengthen being separate, feeling superior, and then the actions that come from the superiority, from the separation-driven mind, causes the communal rift, the communal war, or the religious war in the world we see. At an individual level, at an organization level, at the level of the family, we see the separation-driven thinking or the separation-driven mind. It could be overt or covert. It could be explicitly vilifying another person, where you separate yourself, or it could be running in the undercurrent, where there is politics, where there is gossip, where you are eaten by this virus, where you are consumed by this virus of feeling separate. But are we really separate? Are we really different? If we move away from this separation, if we go into experience of life, my experience of joy is just the same as your experience of joy. My experience of love, when I have experience of love within or connection within, is just the same when you experience love and you experience connection within yourself. My experience of fear and your experience of fear is not different. It is not separate. My experience of sorrow and your experience of sorrow is just the same. If we move away from holding on to the superficial differences that we experience in our life, we are different, we are unique. But if we move away from holding on to it and move into oneness of human experience, then we will awaken to compassion. If there is anything that is stopping you from feeling connected, if there's anything that is making you feel separate, just know that you need to bring attention to that separation-driven mind. Because it is this separation-driven mind that is responsible for all war, that is responsible for all conflict that you see in the world. It is this individual consciousness that is flowing out in the world. And every one of you are instruments of change to create a better world. You are the peacemakers. So if there is anything that is making you feel separate, just know it is causing greater suffering in this world.
Okay, so
I was quite moved by that, and having studied with Marshall Rosenberg nonviolent communication, I'm realizing now how clearly the two parallel. Communication that blocks compassion is what Marshall would have called, or did call, communicating in ways that alienate us from our natural state of compassion. And of course, that would be the moralistic judgments that imply wrongness, or that somebody is bad, and then furthering that, we don't act in harmony with our values or someone else's values. And another block that he spoke of was analysis of others, and that is actually expressions of our own needs and values. So distinguishing value judgments, what we value in life, from moralistic judgments, which are what other people may have done to us, is something that creates a block against having compassion. Another one is classifying and judging people. Much of what Preetaji was just speaking of. And then comparisons are a form of judgment. If we compare ourselves to someone else, we see that, I'm maybe more evolved, or I'm a better person than they are. And this leads to self-induced misery, because if you're thinking that way, that poorly about someone else, it really isn't picking me up to think that way. It's a suffering state. Another one is denial of responsibility. And this often takes the form of implying we have no choice. I had to agree with that person. I had to gossip about that person. I was so upset. And it's a real catch-22. I mean, we can really hook ourselves into believing I had to do it. I had no choice.
Yeah, I'd like to add on to that also. It's like when you demand. If you demand somebody to do something the way you perceive it should be done, then you don't allow that other person the autonomy to do it the way they want to do it. They feel like they have to do it the way you want it. And so instead of doing something with joy in the heart, it's done with animosity. Does that make sense to you?
Animosity, which would be a suffering state.
A suffering state. It causes conflict. And,
yeah.
And then you get into gossip. And
right. Inner conflict and outer conflict, yeah. Oftentimes.
So I had mentioned before we started, we had a little vacation, and we came across, we shared quite a bit of our beautiful states and not so beautiful states with each other. And I know when I wasn't in a joyful state or compassionate state, I really dipped into judging. And not only was I judging the other person, but then I was judging myself, and that would take me into depression, literally. And I found myself hanging out there a couple times where one or two days later, still in that state of resisting, connecting with people, connecting with another person, and kind of beating myself up, so to speak, that I didn't stand my ground or whatever. And I'm trying to think now, how did I, after I hung out there for a while, then I understood more, and then I took the time to love myself. And we can do that in a lot of ways, you know. Give ourselves a hug. We can take care of ourselves, you know, whether it's massaging our own feet or shoulders or neck or whatever. And then from the bodily aspect of taking care of ourselves and looking at the other person in a compassionate way, like maybe that is how they were brought up, their past. Maybe their parents dealt with them that way, and that's all that person knows. And that got me into looking into my past and how certain things in my past, I was brought up the same way, for instance.
Well, I'm interested to hear that you went right to taking care of yourself. I'm wondering if you were able to give yourself any empathy, if you were able to recognize what you were feeling when you weren't feeling so good, when you were,
you know, and that was
closed off.
That was missing in action. Because, so that's why I was hanging out in that real negative state and depression for a while. And that led to kind of being belligerent, you know, when I would all of a sudden come across, I would start retaliating. So if somebody says, shut off that water, you're using too much water. You know, I'd do some crazy stuff, you know, I'd put it on full blast or pretend I was real nervous about them yelling at me like that, and I felt like a little kid. And so I'd retaliate in different ways like that.
Acting out.
I would act out. And that's not good.
So
I bypassed the self-empathy. Which, so why don't you explain that for a bit? What could I have done?
Well, I found myself in similar states, and so what I would do is I would inwardly recognize that I was feeling anxiety or even frustration. And so when I recognized what I was feeling, and then pondered what I really needed in this situation. And then I realized inwardly, I told myself, oh, so you're feeling frustrated because you need some consideration. And that, right there, I was giving myself consideration. I was checking in with my feelings. And I recognized that I needed consideration, and I gave myself consideration because it wasn't a right opportunity where I could speak that to another person. And I didn't have to. Just recognizing it myself, I was able to nurture myself, take care of myself in that way. And it didn't totally eliminate it until I made a request that I be spoken to differently.
That's interesting. So we had two different approaches. Mine was more reactionary and violent, if you want to call it that. And then I tried to lighten it up, but it was in a very sarcastic way, mm-hmm. which is still kind of violent, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't get anywhere with that. So until I was able to have a heartfelt love towards the other individual, and that was after I
steeped
into my past, and then thinking, well, maybe this is what they know, their learned behaviors, my learned behavior, and we clashed, you know. And then I got more compassionate because, yeah, it's learned behavior. It's not the way that person wanted to really talk to me, but that's a learned behavior from maybe being a manager of a corporation where it was top-down management, or maybe the parents were like that, very demanding. And so, you know, I could really recognize that. And once I recognized that, then I got compassionate.
And I really did appreciate how Preetiji talked about how those judgments, our judgments, our mind taking off and thinking someone isn't worthy of our attention or isn't good enough or they think they're superior, whatever it is, how that creates separation.
Yeah.
And how that affects and impacts not only the other person or the other people involved, but it impacts on a much larger scale because we make a habit of gossiping or judging one another, and then it just moves out into the family or community and the world at large.
It really does. I mean, even if you just look at in a room of four people and all of a sudden there's an outburst like that and it affects everybody, it affects the mood. All of a sudden everybody's silent and who knows what's going through each other's head. One person might be thinking, oh my God, what's going on? Another person is in conflict and ready to be aggressive and attack. Another person is hurt. And then it just snowballs into that.
Yeah. And I think it's especially mindful to pay attention to this currently because of the situations going on in our society. You know, with the warring, as Preetiji was saying, that we're each responsible for how we approach situations, how we impact one another, because that's really what leads to warring. And we war within ourselves, we war with one another, and then major war breaks out on our planet, which is what's happening now between Russia and Ukraine.
Well, and even leaders of countries and religions and stuff, when you get on a moralistic path and thinking that your way is the best way, you take out a whole bunch of other alternatives, because one community living in one part of the country might have different needs, physical needs, than another part of the country, or different spiritual needs even. And when you just go in that one direction, then sure, we get the division. So it's amazing how it starts within us, moves into the community, and then moves into the world.
And with more and more communication with internet and Facebook and all the different social media, it's blatant. We can see it not only in ourselves, but we can see so many areas having conflict. Mm. All right, well, I was thinking that we could do a compassion meditation. We have a YouTube meditation by Preetiji that she followed up with here. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, see if you can boot that up. In the meantime, one of the things that I know we do quite a bit of, we've been doing this sadhana. And a sadhana is where you take the time in the course of a day to just kind of meditate where you're at karmically. So you can actually look at if you're in a negative state or if you're in a positive state of mind, and each day might be different. And so how does that state of mind affect you karmically? How does it come back to you? And it's been nice to journal that on a daily basis, pick out one area of the day where something came up, just like I was sharing here with some of my situation, how I was very negative and, you know, in conflict with somebody, and write that down. Next day, all of a sudden, I was in joy, you know, and we got along with each other. Like, it was beautiful. So it's really nice to journal that, and that's the type of sadhana we're doing right now.
And sadhana means practice. It's a practice. Simply a practice of observing, noting, or paying attention to what state we're in when we're acting or doing something. Are we doing it from a beautiful state or a mm-hmm. suffering state?
Okay. All right. So we're going to do a little meditation here, and Sripritaji will lead us through the meditation, and it's a gratitude meditation.
And I believe she speaks a little bit about it beforehand.
This is now over and gratitude season. Let us immerse our hearts into the beautiful state of gratitude once again. Gratitude is not about denying our efforts or disowning our achievements. We are not talking of a state of self-denial where you train yourself to never take pride in your successes or achievements. The gratitude we are speaking about is an expansion of awareness. This awareness happens to most of us in sacred moments. When we hold a newborn, we perhaps become grateful for the gift of life itself. Or when we recover from an illness, we feel truly grateful for every single breath we take with ease, every step we are able to take, or every morsel of food we are able to digest. What is gratitude? Gratitude is an awareness of the sacredness of life. It is to recognize the specialness and the preciousness of all that we take for granted. You feel precious to look at love, at life, at people in our lives, and our everyday experiences. Gratitude is a state that needs to be nurtured by every one of us if we should live with a deeper sense of meaning to life. If we can reflect on our life, our learning, our comfort, and our joy, every single experience stands on the efforts of so many people's sleepless toil, efforts, and contributions. Every moment of breath we owe it to all of Mother Nature for supporting us. We have a choice to live lives of unawareness or make a conscious effort to impact the lives of others from deep thankfulness for what we receive. Please close your eyes for a few moments. Bring your palms to your heart and take three slow and deep breaths as if you were breathing into your heart. Feel your heart fill and expand with a sense of sacredness and thankfulness. Connect to one person in your family, at work, or neighborhood whose support you have taken for granted. Reflect on their love. Feel it from your heart and immerse in few moments of pure gratitude to them. Thank you.
connect to your body. Observe one process of your body which you may have never noticed, be it breathing, digesting, walking, talking, tasting, or eliminating. Feel the preciousness of this gift of nature from your heart. Thank Mother Nature and your parents for the gift of this human body. Connect to the universe or the presence. Recognize one coincidence or unexpected blessing you have received. Let your heart expand with gratitude. Take another deep breath and slowly open your eyes. Remember, the more grateful you are, the more reasons you will have to be grateful in life. Namaste.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you, YouTube.
We'll delete that out. So, that's a beautiful meditation. I wonder if you have anything to add on. It's funny how we go from compassion to gratitude.
It is.
Makes for a heart connection, doesn't it?
It does. And when I think about it, the times that I have been not so happy with people and I catch myself being judgmental, and then I recognize where my mind is going and I switch it to looking for one thing to be grateful for, and how quickly that can turn the dial on the thoughts of the mind.
And would that be in a situation with another person or just in general?
It can be just in my thinking, and then it can also be when I'm with someone and not necessarily enjoying myself because I'm judging, and then all of a sudden I'll think of one thing I can be grateful for in that person, and it usually shifts me to seeing them in a different light. So... and I would like to be a lot better at that, to tell you the truth, and get there a lot quicker.
Yeah, but it takes that awareness and...
yeah, and just the knowing and having the experience that it really does shift you to a different state of consciousness.
Yeah, and taking a little pause when you hear yourself, demand something of somebody or
judging.
Or judging somebody...
Criticizing.
Criticizing whatever it is, even if it's not verbal, if it's just inward. In you. We can change that if we just kind of take a pause, you know, oh, all of a sudden I'm aware of that. I'm judging so-and-so, and here we are. And now is it going to be a very negative experience with this person, or can you change the compassionate mind and just be with what is at that time and with that person and love who they are, love who you are, and what's the saying?
Allow them to be.
God is love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're all in that image, so we've got to learn to live with each other.
Harmoniously.
Mm-hmm.
Really, and to live it, with ourselves.
Yeah, it's an effort, but it's a...
It takes a commitment.
Powerful. Yeah. I'm wondering if we, you know, we've got quite a bit of time yet, and I wonder if we just want to play some meditative music, and maybe who's ever out there listening, you could just meditate a little bit, and then if you would choose to journal a little bit or grab a piece of paper and think about how you are a compassionate person, or think about some of the things we talked about, what might prevent being compassionate, the type of communication, whether it's denial, what were some of them again?
Judgments, moralistic judgments, and criticisms, and analysis when we're analyzing someone or ourselves.
Or a deserving type of language, you know, you feel like you deserve better, or deserve this, or whatever it is.
Demand. I wonder if that would be like entitlement.
Yeah, kind of like entitlement, right.
Those are all the things that block our compassion to ourselves and to others.
Yeah, so let's see if we can find another YouTube meditation that would go along with that. I think there was a Om So Hum meditation there.
Here?
Yeah, let's see where that was. I think we might have lost that one.
But here.
There we go.
Just Om So Hum.
Mm-hmm. That would be nice.
And Om So Hum means I am the universe.
On down.
Thank you.
wonderful day in the neighborhood.
Well, shall we sing?
We can.
Okay.
May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on, guide your way on, guide your way on. Have a beautiful day.
In a beautiful state.
In a beautiful life.